We've been looking through 1 Peter, and you know, this is just the other night, I was just laying in bed thinking late at night, you know, that's right. You know, Peter, we could just preach a whole sermon about Peter's life, what he went through. The Lord saved him as a fisherman, and then it says there in the end of Revelation before we know that Peter died a martyr's death was, you know what, he told Peter, and Peter questioned about John. He says, what about John? And the Lord said to Peter, he says, you worry about yourself. Don't worry about what John's doing, John the Beloved. And God wants us to be concerned how today what we're doing in the midst of suffering, because we all suffer in one way or the other. We all deal with different things at different times, and God always has a way to comfort us, to take care of us. So I'm going to start here in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through chapter 4, verse 6. We're going to look at being resolute in spite of suffering, verses 13 and 14 as an outline as we'll go on through. Like it was back in the times of Rome and the time of Peter's time, there was persecution had broken out. And people say today, well, you know, how does that apply to me today? I don't get it, you know. Yeah, I understand. There are people, Christians, that are suffering overseas. We need to pray for them, and so on and so forth. Being right in jail for, you know, disbelieving in a belief. That's it. Well, you know, we look at our nation today. Let me read verse 13, first of all. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of good? Well, we look at our nation today. We look at what has happened with it, and we reap what we sow. We look at what's happened in the seminaries with liberalism. We look at how they've taken prayer out of school. We look at the free sex and drugs that happened in the 60s. The anti-American movement in the 60s. We looked at evolution being taught in schools. Abortions being so many of them. Materialism. We live in an entitled society. We also look at affirmative action, which started back in the 60s with the African-American people. It started out with something good, but then some people got a hold of it and called it BLM, which is more Marxist in its ideas and philosophy. And then, of course, the woke and the LGBTQT transgender happening today. This is all what we're reaping, what we have sown as a country. The apostasy, the anti-Semitic movement. And, you know, I could just go on. My point is that today we see a split amongst our churches. We see it a split within our families. We see a split within our government. It's all there under the things that God has constituted with our government, our family, and our church. Okay? It's all there. And people are like a frog in the water when it's boiling. It gets very comfortable. It gets very settled, you know. And what happens is that they go to sleep and they don't realize that a frog in boiling water, what happens is it kills them. It kills them. Okay? So my question is here today, in the midst of suffering, where is the church in all this? Where are we at? We are the church. We're the body of Christ. You know, it's not my concern what other churches are doing today. My concern is here today with everybody here today. That's why I'm here today, because God has laid this on my heart. Yes, we all suffer. And I would never compare somebody's suffering today to somebody else's. You can't do that. You cannot compare one person to another. And let me move on here. It says, so, and he who will harm you if you become followers of good, well, it could very well be down the road that people are going to come after us as Christians. You know what? As the saying goes, they came after the Jews first. And guess what? They're going to come after us. It could very well happen. Things are changing so quickly. Verse 14 says, even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. Matthew 5, 10 and 11 says, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. So theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say evil against you because of me. Be glad and rejoice because your reward is great in heaven, for that is how the persecution of the prophets who are before you. In Nigeria, for example, there's still persecution going on. They want to go after the Christians. Their concept is to have an Islamic world, okay? And, of course, what's going on here with globalism, that's communism masked. And they want to have a communistic world, okay? And these are all the end times coming. But there was one lady, a Christian, and God today is more concerned about you today. There was one lady who was sitting on the bed. Her eyes were like in circles, in shock, because she had to watch her husband be macheted to death, had to watch her kids be killed right in front of her. And then since she was a right-handed lady, they cut off her right hand. She was in the hospital, and she was just sitting there in a state of shock. What happened? There was suffering in her life. And people say, how can I have joy through suffering? Well, let me tell you something. And make it as simple as a kid could understand it today, as Jesus would explain. Look, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. All you're going to get today, okay? And when it talks about being filled, it means less of us. Less of us. And we can be filled with the Spirit of God today. But this poor lady was sitting there in shock. And who knows what they did to her body. But my point is that by the grace of God, eventually, once the shock wears off, and we've all suffered, we've all gone through some really horrible things in our lives, and some of us are suffering now, and those online, some people want to be here today, but they're in so much pain they can't come. So what happens is that after all that wears off, then what happens is that little plant, that seed that God has planted in us called the Word of God, it starts growing again after somebody has just trampled on it and put it out while we're suffering. And we all, either we're going to be suffering yesterday, or we have, or we're going to be suffering today or tomorrow. Okay? And so don't get confused with happiness and emotionalism. It has nothing to do with joy. Joy is just the Holy Spirit magnifying yourself. And yes, it does bring happiness. It does bring contentment and so on and so forth. So we are blessed because we have a confirmation of our right standing with Christ. We are blessed because no matter the difficulties on earth, we can look forward with certainty to treasures in heaven. We are blessed because we know God is working out a plan to mankind. We've been called to be part of the plan, and the plan is perfect. So God has a plan for us. Sometimes life is totally different. You know, we have made plans in our life, but God supersedes things. And there's not a day that goes by that something changes for the better. Or sometimes for the worse, but God knows everything. 2 Corinthians 4, 17, 18 says this momentary light of affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not for the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For those things which are seen are temporal, but those things which are not are eternal. So, going on here in 1 Peter, it says here, but we suffer for righteousness, for the sake you are blessed. And be not afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. John 14:27 says this, "Peace I leave with you." We need to grab hold of that peace while we can. "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Pray for a heart of humility. Pray for true compassion. Pray for gentleness and boldness. Because when you're down and out and life just seems like it's crumbling and you're suffering, there's nothing more you can do, you just pray for grace. God will help you out in a time of need. There was a man who was a Romanian pastor back in the 60s. And actually, there were about, there were thousands of pastors. And this happened back in the communistic time in Romania. And he was the only pastor that said, you know what? He told his wife, "I am not going to submit to the government." All the other pastors and church leaders are like, "Yeah, this is great. We're going to have socialism. We're going to join our churches together." That's why you have the state church. If you've ever been to Europe, you lived in Europe, there's the state church is doing very well. So his wife was sitting next to him and said, "What are you going to do?" And he said, "You know what? I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to stand up for Christ because he stood up for me." And he was going to suffer for it. Suffer big time. And he was giving his testimony amongst the congressmen in Washington. And he actually, they had pictures of the scars all over his body because of the tortures that were given him. And he said to his wife, he said, "You know, I'm not going to go ahead and sit here and let them defame my Savior. I'm going to suffer for him." And so they took him out, and even the ones that called themselves Christians were angry. And, you know, mark my word, there are going to be many Christians, if persecution comes, that are going to turn against you for your faith. Mark my word, because it's happened in history. They call themselves it, they talk a good talk, and they walk a good walk, but they're not saved. And so this pastor was put in jail, he was tortured, and it could very well happen in our lifetime. The way things are happening in our country today, it's changing so quick, and we're watching our leadership fall apart. We're watching churches fall apart because of apostasy and other, you know, the only thing they talk about churches is that all the bad things that happen. The only thing they talk about news is bad things that happen. Why? Because they want to. Since 2020, they had this COVID thing, and the whole thing was about reset. That means in society, what they did in China is they reset things back in the 60s and 70s. The 70s with Mao. Okay, Mao, and he was the leader of China. And they defunded the police. And they did all kinds of things so that they would what? They would go ahead and reset everything, and that's what they're doing today. They're trying to reset everything. Destroy the government, destroy churches, and then build up a new communistic lifestyle. The United States is in the way. They can take out the United States, then they have Israel left. And so why isn't the United States mentioned? There's a lot of reasons I can give you, but I don't have time. But, you know, if we can just make them just like Russia or China, the United States, then they pretty much have the world. Have the world. Because South America is pretty much now under socialist communist rule. So they're suffering. They're suffering. Verse 15 says, "But to sanctify, to set yourself apart, the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense for the faith what that lies within you. If anybody gives you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and for fear," that means meekness means strength under control, "and with the fear of the Lord, and you'll be able to move mountains. You'll be able to say things in your life, and your life can change for the better." So we see here that this is what's happening today as Christians is we need to be ready to, in the midst of suffering, to be resolute. We need to give an answer for what the hope that lies within us. Verse 16 says this. So, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those that revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. There is a missionary man who is working with leopards. He was actually a priest, and it's because he was a priest or pastor. But what happened was is that he worked in a leper colony for 12 years. He had a good heart. He wanted to work with the people. And what happened was is that the people there didn't want anything to do with him. Why? Because he was not a leper. He wasn't like them. Sometimes, you know, I've worked with people over the years, and I said, it's better you work with your own people. You can reach them. You're better off reaching them that way. So he worked there for 12 years and decided, you know what, I'm just going to get on a boat, and maybe God's called me somewhere else. What happened was, when he got on the boat, he realized that he had some white spots on him, and the man had leprosy. Well, he went back. The good news is he went back, and he was able to, what, reach these people. These people just started coming in. The church just grew because the people, what, accepted him for who he was, okay? So that's what happens there. The man decided, you know what, God's blessing. You know, what I'm trying to say is with our suffering, that can help. That can help the church grow, okay? When people see your light shine for Jesus Christ, I'm just amazed that many of you here today who have suffered, who are still suffering for all kinds of reasons, that God has used that, you know? You just, the devil can't get you down. He just, you know, you're just like, you spring back up. You're right back up. And that's encouraging. We need to encourage one another today. So, moving on to verse 17. So, verse 17 says this, "And for it is better if the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." So the question is, what kind of suffering is there in the Bible? Okay? Well, there's eight ways of looking at this. One, there's retributive suffering. That means you're being disobedient to God because of sin. Because God is your father, and if he's not your father, then why would you be disciplined? Right? You got a kid who's being bad, or somebody who's not living right, and you know what? They can go to jail if they don't live right. Well, you got kids, they get disciplined. So that's one way people. Number two is educational or disciplining suffering. And so we have, we're taught there too in the story of the parable, not the parable, but it was a true story that Jesus talked about with a beggar and a rich man. Okay, there was the rich man who had everything he wanted, and yet the beggar didn't have anything. And what happened to the rich man? He went what? He went to hell, and the beggar went into Abraham's bosom. Then we see the vicarious suffering, the case of the Lord's death on the cross, that he suffered for us, the Lord suffered and he died for our sins. And remember, he knew no sin to become sin. And then there is the emphatic suffering, which there's grief that we have for one another when somebody has left us, or we're saddened, and you know, we feel for that person, you know, and we feel sorry for that person. Then there's the eventual or testimonial suffering. Look at the book of Job. Remember, Satan came twice to God and says, you know what? You take everything away from him. He'll curse you. Okay? You go ahead and you touch his body, and he'll curse you. And but Job has a lot to offer. And by the way, Wednesday nights we're going to get into that if you're interested in coming out once we're done with Proverbs. But exposes Satan as the evil adversary of the human race. It is seen as one who's behind human suffering. And we see also it shows a limited knowledge of us dealing with the God of the universe. We don't understand why these bad things happen. And we see reveals God's personal relationship with his people. When Job was ready to talk to God, and God says, stand up like a man and get yourself together. And God had to rebuke him because he got the whole picture wrong. He says, where were you when I formed the world? Well, I think that would humble us. And then there's demonstration here of God's wonderful plan for each person. God works out everything together for those who love him. I'm not God. I'm just telling you this. You know, there are some things that God reveals to us, whether I'm preaching this or you're in your car going home or you're doing something in the kitchen or you're at work, and God speaks to you. And then, of course, it shows us how to respond to heartache and affliction and tragedy. It draws us closer to God, okay? Because we're inquisitive. We're wondering, what's going on? Why is it things happening like this? And then also it shows us that we are not based on our own lives, but on the Word of God, how it guides us. And then there's a theologically person can be right and then try to tell somebody about something while they're suffering and just get everything wrong. So when somebody's really suffering, it's best, I've learned over the years, just to keep my mouth shut or to pray with them and not say anything at all because they're just hurting too bad. But remember, if you're hurting, don't lash out on somebody who's trying to help you. Don't get mean with them because they're trying to help. And then it says here too with Job that Job got the wrong advice. Be careful what you listen to. It's not always the truth. Some people may be really mean well, but they're not the answer, and God is. And then, of course, it shows also the most righteous people can also sometimes be destined to suffer and suffer the most. So we think we're all right with God and everything's going okay. God may have a plan for us to suffer. And so that's what Job was all about there. And so there were different ways of suffering. We see that there's a doxological suffering for the glory of God. The blind man, what? Was blind for 40 years until Jesus did what? He healed him so that what? God may be glorified. So we have to keep an open book. What I'm saying, brother, we need to keep an open book while we are suffering. And then there's the revelational suffering you have here with Hosea. He had his, you know, God warned him that she was a very free-spirited person. And what happened was that he married Gomer and she had three kids. Well, what happened was Gomer got tired and said, you know what, I'm going to go find another man in my life because I'm getting tired of this guy. He's just not what I thought he was going to be. So to make a long story short, she goes out and marries another man, leaves Hosea. Okay? Pretty sad story. And then what makes things really weird is that later on, she's on this block. She's ready to be sold as a slave. As a slave. And of course, Hosea comes up and says, I'll buy her back. All right, get my point here. My point is this. And then he gets back together again with her and forgives her of everything. It's like nothing ever happened. God was saying that like with Israel. You know, you left me, your heart was never with me, and you left me, you abandoned me. And, you know, heard about that story about the chick with the chicklets or the little, probably got that wrong, chicklets, little chicks, right? Chicklets are little things that you eat, right? But you left me, like, you know, you left me. Why did you leave me? And so what happened was is that, you know, God, through his love, just like his church today, people have left him. I'm just amazed, and we'll look at this in a minute, the answers that people give to you out in the streets about the rapture. It's amazing. But going on here, so we all suffer, but sometimes we suffer when God says to us, don't do it, don't marry the wrong person, you're going to be in trouble, or, you know, for other choices, because we all make choices. So, moving on here, so we're looking at with Christ. So it was for Christ also suffering once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring to us, to God, to bring, put to death the flesh, may be made alive in the spirit. Very thankful for that. There was at the time with the crucifixion, the historians said there was about 30,000 crucifixions done a year at about the time of Christ. Well, it started off with the Persians, and I'm not going to get to the grotesque, gory things they used to do. It was worse than the crucifixion. That's where we get our word anguish from, suffering. But what Jesus did, and by the time Peter's gospel was written, there were hundreds of thousands, and you'd be nothing like going down here to Econowalk and see people on the cross right out in daylight. It'd still be there rotting. And I know, kids, I don't want to get graphic here, I'm not going to do that, but there were it was the show and tell that you need to submit to the Roman government. They did not play around. Either you did or you didn't, or other than that, you're gone. So there were some people that were saying, because of what happened with Christ suffering on the cross, oh, it was a hallucination. Oh, sure it was. When you have all these people standing around, how can you say it was a hallucination? You know, Christ didn't die on the cross. It was a hallucination. Well, as historians would say, and there's so much archaeological proof and evidences through the church fathers, that it's either you say the word of God is the truth, or you say God is a liar. So when you see people suffering for their own, pardon me, stupidity and foolishness, they are without excuse. And that's what Peter sums up at the verse 6 of chapter 4. But so Christ also suffered, and he did what he did. And then through the Spirit of God, because remember, all scripture is not given by private interpretation. It's by the word of God. And it says here, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Now, what is Peter referring to? Because by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God works this way too, we might be doing something else, and all of a sudden our mind clicks to somewhere else. Okay? And he goes to the spirits in prison. Where is that? That's Hades. So after he died on the cross, Ephesians 4:9, this is a little history lesson. And for those that are confused, now this, he ascended Christ, in Ephesians 4:9 says, what does it mean that he must also first descend into the lower parts of the earth, that he may descend? He is also the one that must ascend above the heavens, that he might fulfill things. So also, Psalm says this, when Christ went down to Abraham's bosom, remember, you had the rich man and you had the beggar. The beggar went into Abraham's bosom, right? And they were looking forward to being released, because they were still there from the Old Testament times, except for Enoch and a few others that God took them, right? So what happened to all these souls? They were in Abraham's bosom. They were in paradise, as it's called. Whether you believe it or not, the Bible says it, so that's good enough for me, right? Psalm 61 says, and even in David had a transformation there like Peter did through the Spirit. Psalm 61 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Now David's starting to get into the mind of Christ, prophesizing here in the future, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Who are the captives? The ones that are in Abraham's bosom. He went to preach to them the good news and the opening of the prison to those that are bound. So when Christ was resurrected after 3 days, guess what? In Abraham's bosom, you had those that came up with him. That was the good news. And we don't have time to get into what David talked about in verses 3 and 4 in Psalm 61. But the good news was preached. Did he have to go over there to the rich man? No, because the rich man was already condemned. Remember, hell was made for what? The angels, the devil and his angels. It was never meant for mankind. So the good news, remember, if you're suffering, because they waited to be resurrected, okay? We all do. We all like to have new bodies. We would all like to be able to have I think about having to have a giant tank of coffee there and plenty of sweet buns. You know, we all have, it's just silly things. But, you know, we all think about what we would like to have in heaven, okay? And it will be nothing like it is here on earth. I let me guarantee you. I haven't been there yet, but I'm feeling it. I'm loving it, like that commercial says. So Jesus goes down there and he says, look, even these people who are in Sheol, or Hades as it was called, Abraham's bosom, the rich man is still suffering there because he had his goodness in his lifetime. And so goes on to say here that in verse 20 that he had already preached to the spirits in prison who formerly were disembodied when once divine suffering of water. He's talking about the flood that has happened in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few of the 8 souls were saved in water. We know that was Noah and his family. Just hang in there, okay? Because again, the Spirit of God is shifting over again. And it says here that there is also an antitype which now saves us. What is an antitype? It is the fulfillment of a type that foreshadows it. It's not baptism regeneration. What he's saying here, let me finish this word and then this verse, is baptism not to remove the filth of the flesh, but to answer the good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He says, because like Noah was like, in a sense, the earth was like baptized in a sense. It's an antitype, okay? It's the same way as when we all got baptized. Does baptism get you to heaven? No. Gave Stephen on the cross baptized? No. Do we believe in baptism regeneration? No. And so what he's saying here, it's a type when you were dunked, when you're immersed, first of all, you died and then you were buried. So you're buried what? In the water, right? And then you're brought up in what? The resurrection. That's all this verse is saying here. So just like as Noah was, started out afresh and anew. And unfortunately, a lot of churches preach that baptism generation. Romans 6:4, and by the way, baptism regeneration means that you have to, in order for you to get to heaven, you have to be baptized. Okay. Romans 6:4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, like that is of Christ, was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. So, going on here, it says that in, verse 22, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, the angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. So because of his suffering for us, everything, every angelic creature, everything that has been created that has to deal with in that realm is subject to God. Even Satan, okay, and all his minions are as well. Chapter 4 says this, verse 1 and 2, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same mind. Remember, life isn't always fair. Sometimes life just gives us a bunch of lemons. You ever had a lemon before? It's kind of sour, right? One of my favorite drinks is lemonade. And what I do is I get some ice, put it in a glass, and then I go ahead and put a little sugar in it, and I mix it around, and boy, I can make something good out of lemons. Life can be full of lemons. And so we got to make something good of it. Romans 8:28 says, and now we know God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Point is that it's not always easy to have the mind of Christ. Okay? Thank you for bearing in with me here. Sometimes I wish I can get one of those little people who are in church, and I know it's hard to stay awake. They got those little running wheels. What do you call that? With your legs. You can exercise your legs, or you can got one of those running things you can run in place. Some of you are so tired right now. I know you are. Just hang on. I'll be done in a minute. Okay? So, you have Christ who died for us. Life is full of lemons at times. We can make lemonade. Make the best of your suffering today. Okay? And some of you, one lady came in and says, you know what? I had to move from the second floor to the first floor, or whatever floor it was, and I'm tired. And I said, before I said that, I said, good morning. I said, I should have just left it at good morning. But it's all good, because I can understand and pray for her. So moving on here, verses 3 and 4, it says, we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we were walking in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abomination, and adulteries. In regard to these things, they think it strange that you run not with them. It's the same with the flood of dispensation. Same thing happened in Noah's time in the flood as it's happening today. Okay, in the days of Lot, so will also the Son of Man come. Some of the days of Noah, so will the Son of Man come. Think that you're suffering? Well, there's a good reason why. Because Christ is coming back. Okay? And that's the exciting room, the news. Unfortunately, today I've done a survey. I went around and I asked some people. I said, I wanted to understand about the return of Christ. What is that? After they tell me they're a Christian, I'm like, oh, great, wonderful. You're going to heaven. Great. Well, what do you think about it? Well, I don't think about it at all. One comment. Another one's, I'll believe it when I see it. These are Christians. There is too much controversy surrounding end time events. I'm too confused at going to these churches and they're talking about eschatology and the end times. I don't want to talk about it. Like, what? I want to be encouraged. Tell me more. Right? I want to experience many things on earth before he returns. In other words, I want to live my life. Keep Jesus out of the picture, and when he comes, it's okay. Come on, Jesus. You can come. No, don't work that way. We see in the news today, we see the young people all upset. Of course, the globalists, the communists, the Palestinians, the Jew haters, there's a lot more of that coming up because they've been taught that in these schools. That's why you see all this unrest. And they want the disorder, things to be totally in disorder, to come into a new age, a new order. And then, of course, globalism, we want that because what? It's in a sneaky facade or a mask or whatever. It's communism. That's all it is. Okay? We see in the book I'm reading right now, Mao's America, written by Xi Van Phi. As a survivor's warning, same thing happened, disapproval, ridicule, pressure to confirm, loss of educational opportunity, economic sanctions, shunning, alienation from the community Peter was going through this time here, and also in Peter. Say, this is not happening in my neighborhood. Oh, they came eventually. They will come knocking at your door and telling you to submit. Loss of employment, loss of property, physical abuse, mob violence, harassment by officials. This is what happened in China. This is what happened in Russia. This is what's going to happen here if things don't change. Kidnapping, forced labor, imprisonment, physical torture, murder or execution. Happened in Peter's time. Okay, say, Pastor, I don't want to hear this bad news. Come on, you know. Look, it's either things are going to get better or worse. Let me tell you one thing about suffering. In the end times, things will get worse. Okay? I love you, but that's exactly what's going to happen. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't tell you. Say, Dad, I don't want to hear it, you know, with your kids and your mom. Mom, come on. You know. And God doesn't want us to worry about it. He wants us to pray about it. Verse 5 and 6, and I'm going to close. They will give an account to him. He's talking about the ungodly. And is ready to judge the living and the dead. In other words, the great white throne, these same ungodly people are just trashing society, making things bad for everybody else. They're going to stand before God one day. And sometimes I'm thankful for the times going by so quick, because some of the things that I experience and you all experience are just like, oh. For this reason, the gospel is preached unto all those who were dead. They might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. He's talking about not standing before a judge, a physical judge. By the way, pray for the judges today. They're just causing more confusion and mess. And he's talking about the final judge, Jesus Christ, the great white throne. So after all this, through the midst of suffering, what do I do, Pastor? Well, first of all, be passionate about what's doing good. Keep on doing what's good, people. You know, doing what's right. And thank you for trying to stay awake, some of you, because I know you're dead tired. And some of you are suffering. Accept the possibility of suffering. There's going to be more of it. Okay? Get used to it. And some of you are like, yeah, I'm so used to it. I'm tired of getting used to it. Don't give up. Honor Christ as Lord in every aspect of your life. Keep on honoring the Lord, even when you're down to your last step, just before you're ready to fall on the couch or whatever. Honor Him. Be prepared to tell others who might ask you why and live the way that you give. Do. Give the answer for the hope. Say, my life looks horrible right now, but you know, I have been attacked. It's been a spiritual attack after another, and that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to take you down. It says, and also the last one, if you get any of these, is keep a clear conscience. Live right. Don't suffer as an evildoer. Suffer as a righteous person. You might trip. We all have hiccups. We all have bumps in the road. But my goodness, you know, get up and confess. As a righteous man falls down, gets back up. We're sinners. We all suffer because we're in a suffering world. I can smile about it because I'm preaching about it. Doesn't mean my life's any easier. No. And I pray for you all. And you all pray for one another. And I appreciate that. So through the midst of suffering, what are we going to do? Are we going to be resolute? Are we going to be ready for it? Are we going to be respectful while we're dealing with our suffering? Are we going to have the right attitude? Are we going to be resolved, saying, you know what, my life will be a time of suffering? Don't worry about people seem like they got it made. They got all the money, all the cars, their health is great. Oh, but they're suffering. Don't kid yourself. You know, it's not about what's on the inside. Jesus preached more about the spiritual than the physical. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for our church. Thank you for your beloved. Thank you for the ones that care, the ones that actually take time to pray for one another, they're there for one another. They would be here in a heartbeat to help one another. They have compassion. They care. They're passionate about one another here. Thank you for all the ministries, praying that whatever your church, your body, Lord, continues to go through. You are the head. And just pray, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, that you will come to know His saving knowledge before it's too late. My friend, tomorrow is never guaranteed to anybody. Any one of us could go tomorrow, or even today. So just pray that our faith is built on nothing but Christ and His righteousness. Lean not on this weak frame, but I've got the foundation of Jesus Christ, which is the rock. Pray by faith, my friend, if you don't know Christ, that you will accept Him. Say, the other invitation is, if you're struggling right now, you're suffering, saying, oh, devil's got me confused about some things, go to the Word. Read 1 Peter chapter 3 and 1 Peter chapter 4, what I preached about. And really pray. Take that time just to meditate. And then take that meditation into prayer. And keep meditating on that throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout your lifetime. Take it with you. And thank you that you love us, Jesus. In your name we pray, amen.